Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome. Welcome to Blummel, everybody. Pretty early start for us.
Yeah, a little bit.
Probably go till about 11:15 or so-ish. Not feeling great today. Did not sleep well at all. Worked myself into a frenzy, which I do so well. Sleep is such a mind game. Sometimes. And I was fucking it up last night. I was having some trouble sleeping. And I'm like, yeah, it's fine. It's only been like 40 minutes. It's only been an hour. Only been 2 hours. Only been, And then I start to go, oh my God, I have to do stuff tomorrow. And my brain is going to be fucking fried. But eventually got some sleep. Felt kind of like a zombie all day. And I decided, well, you know, it's not like I have jujitsu and a concert to go to tonight. So that'll be good. But I do have some things in my back pocket that I can take. Thanks, Big Pharma. 813-90-BUBBA if you'd like to call in. I don't feel like taking a call right now, so I'm gonna just put this on hold for a brief moment. We got a lot of stuff to get into that we didn't get it into over the show because we were talking about American Idol stars.
And Tom Brady.
And stuff about Tom Brady that nobody even really knows. But hey, I get it.
Did you hear he retired?
What? That's so crazy, Tom. It does interest me, though, to some degree, to be like, how much was it because he didn't retire? Is it, you know, could he have saved his marriage? Like, I don't know. He's an interesting person because he's a very enigmatic person. He doesn't really talk a lot about his personal life. And you know what? Good on him. I applaud people like that. I like people that just try to stay out of the drama circle of shit, and they just try to do their craft.
Well, like I said, it's nobody's fucking business.
Yeah, it's not, but, you know, what interests the public.
People can talk about it, but they also act like...
They know
Well, no, not even that. It's that they deserve to know what's going on. Like Giselle and Tom owe it to the people to tell them what's going on.
Yeah.
No.
This isn't like the royals, in a sense, because a lot of times, at least when I was watching the horrible Harry and Meghan deal, the relationship between the public and the royals is like, hey, listen, we fund your fucking life.
Mm-hmm.
We want to know what's going on with you and your marriage and why you cheated on your wife. Like, the people love the drama, and I feel like that's a big reason why they like to keep it around. Also because of the tradition, but like, people want to know what's going on in your life, and because they're funding your lifestyle, they feel like they earned that right to your private life. But it's not the case with celebrities in the United States, but what interests the public. So we can talk about how like stupid it is that they're weighing in on it, but then we weigh in on it and we talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
So it be what it be. I feel like me and you are similar in the fact that we like the idea of having a private life despite being somewhat public people.
Yeah.
And it seems like, and here's the thing. I was talking to this swinger couple yesterday, Lupe and Misha. Very nice people.
Okay.
I've learned that about people in the lifestyles. They're very nice. They're very open, and they're non-judgmental, willing to talk, answer your questions. And I appreciate that because mm-hmm. I got a lot of questions always. So after the camera stopped rolling, we stopped taping and Bubba left. I talked to them probably for about 15, 20 minutes.
At least.
Yeah. About, you know, their kid, what's going on, what it's like to be in the lifestyle and how you deal with jealousy and things like that. And what it seems like to me is what people are able to do, especially the women say, and men, but they're able to separate the affection and loving part of sex with it just being like a sexual act, which women aren't very good at doing. So that's why I'm always very interested. Like guys, I feel like they can easily fuck and not get attached, but do you really want to see your woman fucking somebody else? And then that creates a whole laundry list of insecurities you didn't know you had about, well, does she like it better from him? And da 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 da. Mm-hmm. She's never screamed that way for me, sort of a thing. And I just feel like that is so, the mental gymnastics just, I don't know. It to me, I don't think it would be worth it to be like, I gotta have sex with somebody new. I'm just speaking for myself. I don't know how Blitz feels, but. I got to have sex with a new person. Great. Well, now I have to deal with all of the shit about him possibly liking someone more than me. And
Do you think it'd be easier to like be in the same room or just to know about it and not see it?
That's a good question because there's pros and cons to both. Sure. Number one, obviously, if you're in the room, you see it. And that might be a good thing. It might be bad, but right. To be honest with you, I would probably feel more comfortable just seeing it
mm-hmm.
versus it being like
told
behind my back. Yeah.
I'm not saying behind your back.
No, I know, but I mean in terms of like not in front of my face and I don't know what's going on right, and I'm right. thinking okay. I'd rather just see the worst instead of imagine it, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And just be there to feel like, all right, we're being open. This is weird, but at least I can see everything that's going on. I'm not imagining anything. I know the truth and then I'll deal with the truth versus like, and also I would also be interested not only just in the actual acts of sex, but like there's a lot of things that are said during sex. Like what do you, like if you're in a different room and he's like, you know, no one's fucked me like that. Like he said something like, I'd be like, mm-hmm. hey, what the fuck? Or if they're like, we should meet up later.
Right.
And then they start doing things behind your back. Do you want to go out for dinner?
Right.
Like, I feel like those things almost matter more because it's like, how connected are you to this person?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. And I also like having, to me, and I feel like as with my generation, and it seems like with subsequent generations, privacy is not really valued. In so many different ways.
Not
but,
like it used to be.
Right. And also, to me, like sex is like a private thing, I guess. So I understand like people who are swingers and maybe don't tape it, but still like it's private and you're doing it in front of other people. It's just like, I don't know you. I've given you a lot of access to my private life right now. And that's really reserved for one person, not a team of people. You know, that's just how I view it in my head, I guess. So I don't think that the lifestyle's for me. But hey,
probably
fucking
not.
Do what makes you happy.
Mm-hmm.
We'll take a
as Daniel in
call.
Chat says, eat that cupcake.
Eat that cupcake. Well, what's up?
Hey, God bless my fellow atheists.
Hey, Scal, what's going on?
Oh, not much. Just trailer truck in today. You know, I don't think like a sexual betrayal is bad, especially when you're there. To me, what would fuck me up is an emotional betrayal.
Right.
Like a big gulp of chat into someone and like, you know, going on about this or that instead of coming to me with it. To me, that's way worse.
Yeah, and that's kind of why I'd want to be in the same room so you can kind of hear everything, including the small talk.
Right, because what you might build up in your head could be way worse than what actually happened.
Oh, yeah. And I got a lot of buildup in the head, so I need to see... I need to see everything so I can just deal with that and not have to imagine what's going on. Because I think that that would be immensely worse.
You know, when we were first together, we had a couple incidences where we had, you know, threesomes and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And none of it we ever looked for. It just kind of happened.
Right.
And, like, we're both good with it. We kind of had some loose talks, you know, if it happens again, yeah, I'm down with this. I'm not down with that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But, like, we've never hunted it out. But, yeah, if I found out that, like, she was talking to some bitch on the phone, like, every night, like, burning up the numbers while I was, like, sleeping, that would mess with me.
Absolutely.
Even if nothing even ever happened.
Absolutely.
Yeah, everybody's got their line. It's just knowing what your line is.
Right.
We're heading off to Greece in October.
You had what?
They're going to Greece.
Oh, Greece. Yeah, I did know that. Yeah, I talked to Big Gulp about that quite extensively at Tate's. You both are awesome, but just she was just telling me how grateful she was for everything in her life, and it made me really happy.
Mm-hmm.
I can't believe this is my life every day. I want to pinch myself.
Good.
It's crazy.
Good.
But, I want to thank you guys for how hard you guys work and the people not on the staff, like creating, especially with a pregnant wife at home. And, oh, my God, the baby is so beautiful.
I know. And Big Red. Yeah, and all those people that are kind of local that help out.
Yeah, I mean, it's just such a phenomenal time. And all the new people that are starting to contribute, it's so exciting to see where this is going to grow and where it's going to go. And like the Hoxies have learned, it's a big family. We embrace everybody. Come have a good time.
Thank you for being the one of the highlights of BARP every year, Scout. You and Big Ol. I mean, you're just so much fun, and you just want to have, like, soak up every second of fun, and it makes me so, it's contagious, you know. And what you did for the Hoxies, you know, that was very generous and very kind of you.
Like I said, it was just our idea. It was really, I couldn't believe how generous everybody was.
Yeah,
how everybody was. To want to join in, and that's what I'm talking about. It's Hazlett says it best every year when he's on stage. It's an all-inclusive group that, in any other circumstances, we probably wouldn't come together in any kind of way, but we do, and it's just such a good time, and, you know, it's just so good. See, will you put on the Bubba Army wish list those type of headphones you have to have to be in studio in case people want to start purchasing their own pairs for BARP or $199s in the future?
I can do that.
Or if you want to send me the link so I could purchase a couple pairs, however you want to do it.
Okay.
I'm all easy breezy.
Awesome.
I can do
all
that.
Right. Well,
thank you, Scout, for everything.
Thanks for all you guys do. And
for what you do year-round.
I'm over winter already and already looking forward to next year's BARP.
Good. Nice. Well, we're excited to have you back. Hopefully we see you before then, though.
All right. Sounds good. You can
all right.
be good.
Yep.
All right.
Thank
take
you.
Care. Bye. 81390 Bubba. So I'm always very intrigued by swingers and how they deal with all the emotional baggage. Mm-hmm. And then they were asking me questions about, like, our relationship. They're like, well, we've been together for 20 years. And, like, how long have you and your boyfriend been together? I'm like, coming up on a year. And they're like, all right, see, you're not bored of each other yet. They're like, just wait until, like, year 7, and then you're really going to want to fucking try to switch things up. And I'm like, oh, God, I don't want to be like 45 that getting into, hey, no shame, no shade, no nothing. But I think it's also just like a personality thing. Yes, we will. Yes, to have sex with all of the calientes mm-hmm. and the upside down pineapples. So we'll be doing that. Yeah. I did want to get into something I don't think we even covered it on the air, just maybe on Hot Mic. Lemmy and I were talking about it. And maybe you have more insight into this, but the Chinese balloon.
The spy balloon.
To call it a balloon, I don't know why. When I saw that, I'm like, what the fuck? Like, they didn't call it a drone. It's too low to be a satellite. So I was like, they're just calling it a balloon. Like, that seems so harmless. And what's the word I'm looking for? Sorry, the word search isn't in full swing right now. But it just seems like you kind of like your jobbing them out a little bit. you know, like, oh, this fucking lantern balloon, Chinese style.
That's what it is, though.
Is floating. But it's a, isn't it a surveillance deal? Isn't it? Doesn't it have a camera?
China came out and said, we're sorry that one of our weather balloons floated over the U.S.
What's this balloon made out of? Like, just a, it's...
It's a giant balloon.
That's it?
Yeah, it has, like, stuff hanging from the bottom of it, but, like, we release those all the time here for weather.
Okay, and, like, what kind of size are we talking about? Like a... like a hot air balloon size?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, and it must have, like, cameras or something?
Some kind of sensors on it, yeah.
Okay, okay. Because they make it just sound like it was a red lantern that got away from them during the Lunar New Year,
like,
or something.
But, like, we release those all the time.
Okay.
For weather.
So, and do you think that it was a mistake?
No.
No.
But here's the thing. Like, the reason why we didn't shoot it down, or haven't yet, or whatever, supposedly, is they have a ton of spy satellites that fly over and will find out way more information than a balloon will. So
this is a pretty harmless deal.
It's stupid.
Why is it even in the news if stuff like this happens all the time?
Hold on. Well, Chinese balloons over the U.S. does not happen all the time. Okay. It's happened before.
But we have balloons that...
We really, yeah, like all the big meteorological offices in the U.S. release weather balloons all the time.
Okay. And is that more effective than like a satellite is to send up a fucking balloon?
Yeah. Because it's very, very, very cheap compared to a satellite. You can release, you know, hundreds of thousands.
And you can literally go like that?
You walk outside and you let go of it. And also what it can do is it can go up the atmosphere at like 5,000 feet, 10,000 feet, 15... It'll tell you what the different temperatures and wind speeds and all that at the altitudes are.
Okay. So you just think it's a weather deal? You think it's pretty...
No, I think it's more than that.
Okay.
But I don't think it's much more than that.
Okay. And that's pretty much all the information we have right now. I heard something about not wanting to shoot it down because of the debris. Is that even a thing? Or is it just full of helium?
Well, it's full of helium, but it's carrying, like, stuff. Sensors and stuff.
Huh. Okay.
But, I mean, you know, if they wanted to shoot it down, they would shoot it down over... open land somewhere and it wouldn't, I mean, it'd be fine.
Okay.
But.
Do you think it would be like an act of war?
No, but they wouldn't appreciate it.
Sure.
But they did come out today and apologize. They're like, oh, we're sorry.
Sorry about that. Sorry.
It has meteorological and other scientific purposes and said that they regret that it strayed into U.S. airspace.
Okay. So, but then we're just going to let it eat. And let it pass over, or and do those just stay in the air forever? Like, I don't even know.
Forever? Eventually they kind of break down and it'll pop.
Kill a few rural Indian people or whatnot. Interesting. Okay. I wasn't sure how serious that was. It seemed to be odd.
It's just all over the news. And like, even like the channel we're watching now, in the corner, it talks about it. Like, because they're going to. A Chinese
spy balloon.
There's a Pentagon briefing at noon about it.
Right.
And then Blinken was going to go over there, and he's going to leave today, but now he's postponing his trip.
To China?
To Beijing.
Oh, to meet Xi Jinping in Beijing. Right, so I did hear about
that's delayed now until they find out what's going on with this spy balloon.
Yeah. It just seemed to be odd to be concerned about a balloon, and I'm like, are we jobbing him out by calling it a balloon? But you're like, that's what it is. It's a fucking balloon. So that was I'm glad we cleared that up because I really didn't know too much about that. I also wanted to cover torture.
Hell yeah.
How we feel about it.
Love it.
If we think it's effective, because you could think something's not nice, but you think it's effective.
Mm-hmm.
You could think something is nice, but not effective. You could think that it's both the same or both not the same. I don't know. But torture is something I wanted to bring up today because there was a prisoner at Gitmo, and I believe he was an American citizen that joined Al-Qaeda, however you'd like to pronounce it. U.S. military officials said Thursday they released and sent to Belize, okay, a one-time Al-Qaeda courier who had completed his sentence. The transfer of Majid Khan ended in imprisonment that included torture at clandestine CIA sites and 16 years at the Guantanamo Bay Detention Center.
He was there for 16 years?
I guess he was. Khan, a Pakistani citizen who grew up outside of Baltimore, I knew there was a U.S. connection there, wound up in the Central American nation under a Biden administration agreement with the government. Khan's lawyer said he should have been freed last February under a pretrial agreement. Just last February. So he's in his early 40s now, said in a statement through his legal team that he deeply regretted his period of working with Al-Qaeda in his early 20s. That included working as a courier and taking part in planning several plots that were never carried out. I promise all of you, especially the people of Belize, that I will be a productive, law-abiding member of society. I will not let you down. Well, thank you for the kind words, Khan. Now, this got me thinking all about torture and Bush. And boy, do I hate the Bushes. All of them. I know all politicians are dirty and filthy, but usually not all politicians, you know, dupe the entire world into getting involved in a war that should never have happened. But I understand that that's just kind of how the nature of geopolitics works. You say that there's weapons of mass destruction, you go in, you secure oil and other resources, and then you go, I guess we just never found them. But at least Saddam's out, but ISIS is in. Sorry about that. Anyways, see you later. Mm-hmm. Bye. So during the Bush administration, I think it was, 2002, is when they decided that, I don't know exactly when Gitmo was set up. I want to say 2000, end of 2001, 2002. Remember when they were talking about, they didn't call it torture. Do you remember what it was called, what they called it? The cute little, it's not torture. It's enhanced interrogation.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Guys, it's not torture. No! We're just going to ask them questions a little bit louder. That's all. Maybe scream in their face a little bit. I mean, whatevs. Who cares? Comes out, we're full on torturing these people.
Yeah.
And you might say, well, Anna, why are you such an advocate for terrorists and people involved in Al-Qaeda and the destruction of the United States? Why is that such a bad thing? Who cares?
And why are we talking about something that closed a long time ago? Because, you know, Obama promised to close it, so it's closed, right?
I don't think so.
Oh. Oops.
I think it's still there. Yeah, he said he was going to close it, mm-hmm. but then he actually he ramped it up. And not only did he ramp it up, of what I remember, I think we opened up a few other places around the world where we're like, hey, we can't torture people on American soil, so can you open up a prison and we'll, maybe pay you or give you some sort of arms deal if you could extract some information from these guys, please and thank you. Whether it be in Syria or Bahrain. I know we were doing, I don't want to say that was under Obama, that may have been under Bush. But there were many places that conducted things like this, but maybe not at the hands of American citizens or the CIA, but, you know, in collusion with our intelligence agencies, because we need to extract information from these people. But as far as my understanding, and again, I have a very rudimentary understanding of all of this sort of stuff, but I know that if I was being tortured in some capacity, I probably would just tell the people what they wanted to hear so that they would stop torturing me. I think that's how it kind of works. And again, yeah. I don't think that I'm being an advocate for people who are trying to destroy the United States or kill American citizens or anybody for that matter, put other people in danger, that I have some sort of affection for these people. And I know we've talked about it ad nauseum, my stance on the death penalty. It's not like I really care for Nicholas Cruz and I want him to be around because I think he can be rehabilitated. It's more of just like what the state should be allowed to do. Now, will you see me at any protests? Fuck no. I don't think I would protest for, I don't even think I would protest for my right to vote, to be honest with you. I'm like, what's the bathroom situation like? Porta potties? I'm like, fuck it. I don't need to vote. I'm very lazy in that way. I like to have thought experiments and talk and discuss, but when push comes to shove, I'm very just like, you want to take away, you know, women's suffrage? Like, I'm not going to fight you. I wouldn't. Because I'd, mostly because of the bathroom situation.
We don't want women to suffer.
Right, exactly. R.I.P. funny Jimmy Kimmel. Like, he was so cool at one point.
Yeah, and, time ago.
And Adam Carolla is just, I feel like he's like, what happened, mm-hmm. buddy? Used to be fun.
Yeah, he's busy fixing up houses and stuff.
So in regards to torture, like letting this guy loose. And I was listening to this guy, John Karaku. I think that's how you say his name. I thought he was Japanese. I think it's just Greek. But he worked for the CIA. And if the name sounds familiar, it should, because in 2007, he did an interview with ABC. And he's like, yeah, they were torturing people. And he ended up going to prison for 23 months, federal prison. And he pled guilty because they had the jury stacked. I think that it was in Virginia, like he was tried in Virginia. And they're like, you either plead guilty or we're going to have a jury stacked full of CIA guys and FBI guys that are going to put you away for fucking 20 years. So he pled guilty and he spent about 2 years in federal prison. And he said he doesn't regret one moment of it. But yeah, he was talking about what they were floating around in CIA when he was working for CIA, and how they wanted to, like pretty much the inception of Guantanamo Bay and doing it overseas, and the fact that it was illegal and that you're not allowed to torture people, and the fact that there were American soldiers who were put in prison for like 20 years for torturing and waterboarding Viet Cong. Like, you're just, it was part of the American way that you're just not supposed to torture anybody, whether it be a foreign foe or a domestic ally or whatever. It's just not what we do in America. So we don't do that in America. We do that in Cuba.
Right.
And Bahrain and Syria and other places to, quote, extract resources. Now, hear me out on this, and I feel like this is probably going to be a controversial statement. When you start torturing people for, I don't know, 16 years at Gitmo, I feel like when you release them, they're probably not going to hate America any less.
Probably not.
So in my estimation, you kind of just got to finish the job. Like, you can't. Here's the thing.
Right.
And this is what John Kuriaku was saying. Is he was saying that we were taking like hundreds, maybe thousands of people to Gitmo, many of whom were not guilty of doing anything.
Mm-hmm.
But they had information, or they were mistaken, or they just thought that they were associated with Al-Qaeda. And they go and they torture these people. And he was saying, when you let these guys go, he's like, they weren't radicalized before,
right.
They're radicalized now.
Yeah. Now they are.
Now they are. So he was basically saying, like, you know, it tortured, you're not getting any information. It doesn't work. You're making the situation work worse because you're making people, A, who are innocent, hate America and radicalizing them, or B, you know, you're turning people into martyrs, and essentially you got to keep them there forever. So my whole deal is like, you can't torture someone for two decades almost and then let them free. Like, that is probably the worst play ever in my estimation.
Right.
Because, and again, I don't think we should be killing people either, but also, you can't let them out.
It's a weird triple-edged sword.
You've tortured them. They hate us. I feel like they're probably going to be somewhat emboldened to vindicate all the things that we did to them, and might make it their life's mission to destroy America more than before. So it's like, okay, yeah, you were sentenced to 16 years at Guantanamo Bay. Now you're out. Now what?
Mm-hmm.
You think they're going to be rehabilitated? I don't think so. So, yeah, I would like to hear from the people, 81390 Bubba, how you feel about torture.
Bright Farm John's Island gave us $19.99. And then
for torture.
Super Fat Bubba Light said, oh, hey, no problem, and gave us $19.99.
Oh, freak, yeah, thank you so much for that jacket. I really did wear it everywhere, didn't I?
Yes, you did.
I loved it. I love it.
I wore it a while, too.
Yeah, I felt like a little bit like Chris Farley, fat guy, little coat, but that's just because it was a double XS.
Yeah.
So it was
extra small.
Yeah, and it fit me, but like I didn't have like a lot of mobility. Like, I wouldn't be doing yoga in it, but I loved it, and thank you so much.
Yeah, you wore it the whole time.
Yeah, I wanted to keep the tag on because I'm like, this was originally $213. Like, that's more than I'd ever spend on a jacket. Or a home or anything. I don't spend that kind of money.
On a home.
I don't spend any $200. That's crazy. Yeah, I don't think I've ever spent more than maybe the most I've spent is $100 on the bridesmaid's dress, or $100 maybe on a pair of like good running shoes, but that's the limit.
Mm-hmm.
No more, no mas. So 813-90 bucks.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
I'd like to have you guys weigh in. I'm trying to move away from relationship talk. So hopefully we're doing that. You guys want to, you know, want to talk about torture a little bit.
Yeah. So you're not for torture, but you're saying if we bring him there, might as well kill him.
I'm saying I'm not. here's the thing. If torture worked,
mm-hmm.
like, I guess I'd be a little bit more open to it. But if you're just going to say anything.
Are you sure it doesn't?
I mean,
because they're not going to tell you what really goes on.
Of course not.
And they're not going to say, well, this guy gave us X amount of information and 80% of it is valid and 20 is not. They're not going to say any of that.
Right.
So.
I understand that. And this is kind of like the Tom Brady divorce deal where we're making judgments on things we don't have all the information for. So it's kind of a little bit difficult. But just from again, people who are against torture say it doesn't work. People who are for it say it does. So it's hard to kind of get a gauge. Both are considered. I've heard CIA guys talk about defend Gitmo. I've heard CIA guys mm-hmm. say, like this whistleblower that said it just doesn't fucking work. So it's kind of hard to measure. But from if I'm just using my little pea brain and someone is doing something that's incredibly painful to me, I'm probably going to say whatever it is just to make it stop, you know? So if there was like convincing evidence that it was effective, and then like how much of it is just like you're just torturing them you're not even looking for it, you're just looking to fuck with them because you can and they're a prisoner and you're just trying to, you know, like the Yabu.
I know what you're saying, but also we don't know that's what's happening.
Right. I mean, again, according to this guy who, right, he said versus CIA said.
Because I'm willing, again, and I don't know either. I'm willing to bet it's more along the lines of like, hey, you know, we bring these people here. We, you know, probably treat them okay. Interrogate them a lot. And then like, there's probably a handful that we do, you know, torture-ish type things too. But it's not even like real torture.
I mean, maybe we're not pulling fingernails off, but waterboarding and then like, chaining people so that they're like standing on their toes for hours and then like throwing cold ice water on them and or you know preventing them from sleeping, sleep deprivation. Mm-hmm. Okay, maybe we're not like cutting them open and or like ripping off their fingernails one by one or something like that.
Yeah.
But again, it just seems like that's probably not the move either. Even if it's not the worst torture, it's still imagine enduring that for 16 years.
Okay,
I mean,
so what if someone told you,
yeah,
that we torture people by throwing cold water on them and that kind of like again, not pulling fingernails, and they
yeah.
said, hey, look, almost every time we've done that, we've gotten good, valid information off them.
Then I would absolutely reconsider if I thought the torture was roughing right. somebody up. I don't know how you want to define
it. Sure.
But if we knew that we could extract good quality information from them, then I would be more open to it. But again, I just see it as it not being, not only because it's like not nice, not because I'm like human rights mm-hmm. chick, not only because it's not nice, which it's fucking not. And okay. it would be nice if America had some sort of standard of like we treat people, whether they are friend or foe, with a certain standard. But beyond that, if it's not effective and it's against my human rights ethos,
mm-hmm.
and then on top of that, we let these people go, which seems like counterintuitive because you're like, well, they didn't do anything wrong. But then it's like, if the long game is to protect American citizens and protect American lives, torturing someone for almost 2 decades and then releasing them into the wild seems like it's probably not the move.
Yeah, that's kind of weird.
You know, so that's almost like the main reason. It's like, oh, sorry, you were the wrong person, or we didn't get anything out of it, or you served your sentence, or whatever the mm-hmm. case may be. It comes to its logical conclusion. To let someone then go, whether they deserve to go or not, I'm thinking long play. That person probably doesn't like the country anymore.
Right.
Than they did before, and they're probably going to do everything in their power to get back at us.
There's no question.
You can't do that, and it seems like almost like you can't, like, and even if you're just wrongfully detained for 10 years, I mean, that would still piss me the fuck off. And when I got out, I'm like, listen, I wasn't anti-American before, but I sure shit am now.
Yeah.
So it's kind of this weird, but then you also need to apprehend some of these people that deserve to be there, or because they're actively trying to
mm-hmm.
destroy American lives and, you know, take everything that we've worked so hard to accomplish. So it's kind of like I don't know how I feel about it, but if the goal is to protect America, I feel like letting them go is like, you just gotta like, you gotta fucking like kill them. And I'm not even like for the death penalty, but I'm like, yeah, what are you gonna release that abused dog/person that you've treated like shit, that you've sodomized, that you've mm-hmm. raped? Apparently, according to Khan's testimony, he was like sexually abused, and you think about these people who, I mean, to be sexually abused is like, I almost said a normal person, as in like an average American man is probably not good, but then you got to throw on the like the Muslim kicker. It's like,
yeah,
I mean, their own people would kill them because they're like a disgrace and they're gay and they're gonna burn in hell. And it's like, it's this whole added like cultural layer of like tainting a human being. You know, I forget who did this with like I don't know, some sort of like I don't know if it was the Israelis or the Palestinians, where they were like sending things over or bullets over with like pig's blood on them.
Mm.
So then you not only are you like injured with a bullet, you have like unkosher or non-haram fucking blood.
Yeah.
And that, I don't remember who was doing that, but either way, like you're adding this like extra layer of insult to injury.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what the game plan is. I don't like the government torturing people. I do love secrets, though. So that is why I kind of like CIA stuff, obviously, because I love secrets and I love wheeling and dealing. And I love the fact that we can, you know, we say China's our enemy, but we buy all their shit. And we take all their products and we borrow money from them to fuel a war, which they are against because they're chumming up with Russia. It's just so interesting how everything is so interconnected.
Right.
And, you know, even you and I were talking about this on the way home from Charleston, as we saw like a guy in a truck, and he seemed like he was a MAGA guy. Remember, he had the wood in the back and he had all these stickers about American made. And I was like, I bet you get that guy out of the car, he's wearing a shirt that was made in China or some shit.
Well, what truck was he driving?
Was it a Toyota?
It was.
And you were telling me
it said like buy American only or suffer or something like that.
Like American made shit. Yeah. But he was driving a Toyota, which is a Japanese car. I know. Didn't you say a lot of the parts are?
Oh, I mean, a lot of the foreign trucks are made more in America than American trucks are.
Right.
Yeah.
So when you think that you're buying something that's like American made, maybe it was manufactured in America.
The profits are going to the Japanese company.
Yeah.
But
even beyond that, like people think that if something says it's made in America, that every part of it, you don't know where the cotton was extracted or if it was silk that was taken from like a Chinese factory. Like all of the, and just because it says made in America doesn't mean that the supply chain begins and ends in America.
Right.
Is what people don't understand. And, you know, I was listening to this guy, Peter Zahan, who I'm like, I'm his new biggest fan. And he talks a lot about, he knows so much. Either he is just the biggest fucking like fraud ever because he just spits so many facts, or he's a genius. I'm not quite sure yet. Jury's still out. But he like was showing, you know, a pair of new AirPods and he's like, there are 1,200 steps in the supply chain. So, you know, you think it's made in China. He's like, but this was extracted from the Congo because you got cobalt here. And if it's a rechargeable battery, you have lithium, which was extracted in Afghanistan. And then you have this part and this plastic and this piece of metal and that. So you think that, you know, all these products, it's just comes from American made, American jobs or just from China. It's like, nah, man, it's like fucking this.
Yeah.
Everything's entangled with each other.
Made for American cotton. Well, it might be grown here. Then it's sent to China, and they do some stuff. Then it's sent somewhere else.
Right.
And then they ghost over to India, and they do something else to it. Then it's shipped to Mexico, where they build it and send it over here.
Yeah, and that's like the beauty and also whatever, the ugly side of globalization.
This guy in the chat says that Toyota's assembled in Mexico. They are now. Most of them are all Mexican. However, he had an older one, so it was probably made in Texas.
Right.
But they are now almost all made in Mexico.
And you think about all of the parts that that make up a car, whether it be the plastic and the metal and like just the different raw materials. It's not like you're going to find that in any one place. The glass and the software and the lithium battery and, you know, it might be the cobalt might be extracted in the Congo, but then it's sent to Taiwan to fucking they make the battery, which is sent to Mexico, which is sent back to Japan, which is sent to the U.S. And here you're thinking like, oh, I'm American made. It's like you don't know shit.
Right.
This is globalization. This is how this all works. That's what happened after World War II is that countries could just trade with each other more freely than they ever had in the past. You didn't have to just have like one fucking crop and you're like, we do grain here or we do iron or whatever. So, which is beautiful because a lot of countries were able to industrialize and get wealthy together. But then also it's kind of scary because we're so reliant on each other for stuff that if one person defects, the whole system crumbles. So, there we go. Hello, who's this?
Hey, it's Tom Brady's ex-boyfriend, Dark Match Steve. How's it going?
What's up, Dark Match? How's it going?
I'm good. Yeah, I was just calling about the torture stuff or a little bit related. I had a friend. This guy's freaking hilarious. He's like one of my best buddies, and he was in the Army. And right now he's like working in Alaska, and he was working at McMurdo in Antarctica.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
and he's like all over the place. He's fucking awesome. But yeah, this guy is like he's funny as hell. He worked at this at one of the terrorist prisons. It wasn't Guantanamo. It was some prison in Afghanistan.
Okay,
and so they would have like all of these guys in like one holding area, and they went to come get this guy. They told him, that he had to get like they were getting him to do a medical checkup. They told him that they were setting him free. So like they go to this thing and they're like, all right, dude, halas. That's like the name for you're done or whatever.
Yeah.
That's the word for it. Halas. And, they're like, bro, you're done. Come on, halas, you're done. And they all these guys start praying around him and, like, doing all this. And they're, like, celebrating that he's leaving. So they go do the medical thing, and they bring him back, and he's just like, Nehalas, Nehalas. And they all got fucking pissed.
Oh my God.
Yeah, they brought his ass back there. It sounded fucking hilarious.
Yeah. Yeah, that's some crazy shit. So where's your friend right now?
He's in Tampa.
Okay.
He's like on a vacation from Alaska.
Okay.
Yeah.
And he also worked in Antarctica?
Yeah, that was he had a contract with them. That was his last thing for like a couple years, like 3 years, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the Alaska gig, I think he likes a little better, and he comes back like every couple months. It's like the Antarctica deal, they'd stay out there for like, you know, 8 months to a year or something like that.
Right.
So yeah, it's pretty hardcore.
Mm-hmm.
No, thank you.
Yeah. Hard pass on that. Yeah. Well, anyways, thanks to Dark Match, Steve. Appreciate it.
Yeah. All right. Love you guys.
All right. Bye, see man. You later.
See ya.
Bye. I saw this guy on Rogan. Many of my stories start
on
like that.
Who?
Rogan.
Okay. Now I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, the guy who was like, I want to go across Antarctica by myself.
That was Bubba?
Yeah, Bubba was on there. This fucking dumbass. And here's the thing, like, it's kind of a blurred line where I have a deep respect for someone who does something very challenging. And then the line kind of is blurry, it's fuzzy, and then you go, you're just a, you are, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Like the guy who was running or...
The Forrest Gump guy?
Yeah. I'm like, yeah. What?
Yeah, why?
Because of it's a fake movie, it's not even a real movie, but you are such a mark for goddamn Tom Hanks that you feel like you need to run around the country for 15,000 miles?
It's like, okay, that's amazing that you can do that, like what a feat, and also... Why?
I mean, it is amazing, but it's like, you're not breaking, well, I don't know. Not that you're not breaking records, but it, like, if you give anybody enough time, like, they could fucking probably do that.
I mean, I don't agree.
I mean, they may die or something, but I just think that, like, why do you have that much tenacity when it comes to something that I deem as dumb? Like, that to me is stupid.
Yeah.
The guy who went across Antarctica with the fucking sled where he was literally carrying his shit. I'm like, you can't. And I didn't know if he was carrying his shit because he was using it for fuel or if he's like, I don't want to litter. Because if it's the latter, then what a fucking.
Yeah. What would be the purpose of carrying your own shit?
I don't know if he was like, I honestly think it was because he didn't want to litter. So, and he would set up camp and a lot of times he couldn't like shit outside because it was too cold. So I don't even know how he would do it. He would just like set up his tent, sleep in there, weather the storm. And it's not like you can run or do anything fast. And half the time you're going against the wind. So he was just, there's like some video that he took where he's going literally 0.02 miles an hour, trudging across this fucking continent from hell. And Rogan was like really pumping him up. And I'm like, what do you. And the motherfucker had like a wife and a kid. Like, what are you doing? At some point, you go, your brain is fucking broken, bro. Like, clearly, you just need. Maybe you need to pick up a new hobby. Like, do fucking karate or something. Like, why do you have to do something dumb like that? And I kind of feel that way about the alpinist, Marc-Andre Leclerc.
Yeah.
Where you go, why did you have to freeball that? Why did you have to die? But then I also kind of get that's how they like get the rocks off. When we were watching that thing on Netflix about people just going through like horrendous, treacherous things because it, like the pain helps them cope with trauma. It either A, helps them cope with trauma, or B, it's like they're such adrenaline junkies that they cannot like get... an erection on reality that they have to do something so fucking crazy, like possibly get impaled by bullhorns or some shit and doing the little dance. I think I've seen that. It's not the the guy was French. It wasn't like the
bullfighting.
Toreando. What is it? Come on, guys. The fucking
Toreando?
Come on.
Where they yell Toro.
Toriando is a jujitsu thing, but you know what I'm talking about? The bull fighters?
Toro is bull.
But the, what's the Spanish word? Chat!
I don't know.
Help me out.
For the actual bullfighter, what their name is?
Yeah, the fucking, it was,
I don't know.
Matador.
Oh, okay.
Matador. Thank you, Anna, for getting that. But yeah, it's, these guys weren't doing that. They were just had a bull and they would have to like jump over it or like dance.
Yeah, there was no bull fighting.
No, there was no like sphere or anything. But we saw this and I'm like, oh, you know, thinking it's Netflix, it's fucking, you know, as Bubba calls it, chill a dog in it. I'm like, ah, they're not going to show anything. They fucking show this guy getting paled. I'm like,
well,
the
he deserved it.
And so he's like lying there, like bleeding out. And he's like, it's, this is what it's all about. And I'm like, What? Like, I'm so confused why you would do that. And then there was a group of ladies, a group of lady cyclists who decided that they wanted to go on this. It's like the Tour de France from hell where they have to do it on like cobblestones.
So dumb, slippery and shit.
Yeah, it's like with mud and shit. And they're just like, we like the without the pain, there is no gain. And it's like, I understand that to a degree. Like, me more than anybody, I understand how dopamine works in the brain and how you have to, you seriously have to challenge yourself or inflict some, I'm going to put pain in quotes, but this is why I'm such an advocate for working out and doing hard things is because A, it builds confidence and B, it just helps reset your dopamine reward system in your brain. Because people think like, oh, how do I make myself feel better? I'll just throw pleasure at my brain. Eat more, more social media, like dopamine. But the more you do that, you kind of hit this upper limit and then you start to feel nothing. And that's my whole theory as to why most like Hollywood children, like celebrity children, end up fucking, you know, addicts because they can't.
Like Tom Brady's going to be.
Yeah, because they can't feel anything. They've been given everything, handed everything their whole lives. That the only way they can feel a high is if they start doing hard drugs. Because they can't get it from their external. They don't know how to extract it. Because there's no, like, I work hard and I get a Benz. It's like, I turned 16 and I got a Mercedes. Mm-hmm. You know, it's that you're killing the fucking, the drive. Gary Vaynerchuk talks about this a lot. He's like, I'm so happy I was poor growing up because it fucking put that fire underneath my ass to feel, because he remembers what it was like.
Yeah.
And to earn it, not to just be given it, but to earn something, you appreciate it so much more, which is why you don't really see people who are, you know, CEOs of companies that they founded. Typically, those guys don't really go bankrupt. It's the people that win the lottery because they just come into this wealth. They didn't earn it. And then they spend it like crazy. They're not careful with their money and they lose it all again.
But they had a few fun years, man. Who cares?
They did have a few fun years before it all went to hell.
I don't feel bad for any of them. Like, they'll have these shows talking about that, how like the lottery ruined my life.
Oh, I don't feel bad.
Yeah, it's like, so what? Even if you won like millions and 5 years later you're broke, at least you had 5 years of fun, I would hope.
Yeah. Yeah. But then are you like in a worse off situation than before you started? Some people don't feel, listen, I'm not saying that I have any sympathy for these people. I'm just saying that I don't think winning the lottery is good for anybody.
I think if you win the lottery and then go broke within, let's call it 6 years, they should send you right to Gitmo.
I second that.
Mm-hmm. And so, not let you out because like you said, don't let them out. Kill them.
Yeah. Yeah. It's weird because there's really a lot of contradictions there. But it's, my whole thing is, if the goal is to keep us safe, probably the most unsafe thing you could do is torture someone for 20 years and then let them go. That seems like that's not a smart move. So you just go, well, you're not able to be rehabilitated, but like, you got to think about all the trauma that person has.
The problem is at some point you have to go, okay, well, we've kept them here. There's no other information we can find on them. People are asking about them. We like have to let them go, I guess. You can't just kill
them. From Earth.
I know.
You can't, but we're also doing a lot of things we shouldn't be doing in the first place anyway. So you might as well just fucking follow that road to its logical conclusion,
right,
which is
what
death.
You do is you go, hey, okay, so these 24 prisoners in Gitmo that we've had for whatever years, we're going to put them on a plane and send them back to, you know, whatever country. And, oh, no, over the Atlantic, a tragic accident happened and the plane went down. Yeah. Luckily, the pilot was able to parachute out.
Yeah. That could work.
Yeah.
Because here's the thing. It's like you're already in a situation where you're doing illegal shit. You're like, Americans are not supposed to be torturing people on American soil. Or at the hands of Americans, which is why we go, well, why don't you fucking do it, mm-hmm. Syria? Or why don't you fucking do it, Bahrain, or something like that? But
transfer like a bunch of them over to the Saudis too or something? Some like Gitmo prisoners?
I'm sure we have. And okay. Like let them deal with it?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I could see how America could do that. Absolutely. But we're already doing all this shady shit. At the end of the day, again, if your goal is to preserve America and save American lives and protect American lives, you cannot let these people go.
I agree.
You cannot let these people go because anywhere they go, they have access to the internet. It's not like they can't connect with people and radicalize. And that's what I heard from this John Kuriakou guy there was some guy who was apprehended. He was like a Canadian professor. I don't know if he was like Egyptian or something like that, but he was taken, he was tortured. And when they let him go, he was like, yeah, now I'm part of Al Qaeda, bitch.
Right, right. I wasn't before, but I am now. I get it. I get that part.
So those are my thoughts on torture. Here's my deal with torture. If you're going to do it, you got to just put them out of their misery at the end.
If you're going to do it right.
Do it right. Do it. Do it right. Do it tight. Do it right. Do it right. Do it tight. So that's what I have to say about that. But other than that, I think it's just about time to go.
Yeah, hopefully the rain's over by tonight for you.
Yes,
I'm
not excited about this concert at all. I slept like shit.
I'm excited about it.
And then I got a message from my friend saying that she was really sick, but she was going to try to go. It's like, please don't. Tickets were only $34.50. Wasn't that much money.
I will see you on Monday.
Please don't. Because then it's like, well, shit, we have a suite and I don't want to go there. And I love my friend, but I don't want to go there and you're sick as shit, getting everybody sick. Mm-hmm. Then I don't want to go. But then if I don't go, I invited friends from fucking Sarasota, so they can't just fucking roll up without me. So I have to be there and I didn't sleep. It's not going to be good. But anyways.
You going to take a nap today?
Well, I'm going to do the opposite of that. I'm actually going to roll around and get my ass whooped. I think I'm getting worse at jujitsu, by the way. I'm getting worse at jujitsu. I don't know if that's possible. But I think I am getting worse
What happens when they give you a new belt, you get worse?
I think that's what happens. Because here's the thing. Like, I am very risk averse. It's very against my nature to like try to hurt myself or hurt somebody else. And obviously the objective is not to hurt yourself.
Yeah.
But that is inevitable when in most sports, especially this one. So I get in my head sometimes about stuff and then I can't get out of my head. Mm-hmm. So I'll have like a bad day.
Yeah.
And then
tuna.
Yes. But I mean a bad day in terms of I lose a lot and then I go, man, I suck. And then the next day I go, I'm expecting to lose. And then I do because it's a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm just like, why am I here? I'm not getting any better. And then it really takes a good rattling for me to just be like, I don't care if I'm good or bad. I'm doing this because it's good for my brain. It's good for my body or whatever bullshit I tell myself that day. And that's why I'm here. It's not to necessarily, hopefully, to improve. But the goal, the objective is to just try to be bad at something and keep showing up because it's good. That's good for you. I heard that someone say that one time.
Well, come over to my house. I'll rattle you.
I appreciate that.
No problem.
All right, guys. Have a great weekend. Be safe. We will catch you on Monday. Just a normal week next week, right? Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't call it normal, but yeah.
Well, nothing's normal around here, but a 5-day week. Monday morning, 6 a.m. Big show. Have a great weekend. Blitz, thank you so much.
Indian food review.
Indian food!
Gus gets his fluids changed.
Yes. I'll be dressed in full Indian garb when we go to where we're going.
Like with the feathers and stuff?
More with the saris.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
The saris. That's
sorry.
The goal.
Yeah, sorry.
We'll get some paneer. We'll get some chicken masala, samosas. It's going to be a good time.
Butter
Have a great
chicken.
Weekend. Thank you, Blitz. Goodbye.